Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Please silence all cell phones. The time is 1:30 on February 26, 2026. I'm joined today by Chair Olson, Chair Stedman, Senator Keel, Senator Merrick, Senator Kaufman is excused, and Senator Hoffman is away on state business and excused, and myself, Senator Cronk. Today's agenda is public testimony on the operating, capital, mental health, and supplemental budgets. This afternoon, we invite Alaskans from Senator Olson and Senator Hoffman's districts. These communities include the North Slope, the communities of Northwest Arctic and Norton Sound, the communities of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, and the communities of the Alaska Peninsula and Aleutian Islands. Looking at the testimony, I think we can give a three-minute limit today because we don't have a lot of people signed up quite yet. Please be respectful to your fellow Alaskans who also want to participate. And please keep your comments focused on the budget. This is not the time to comment on policy bills. Please sign up to testify by 2:45. So with that, we're going to start in the room with Eileen Arnold. Please come up. Yes, ma'am. State your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name's Eileen Arnold, and I'm from the Bethel, and I work at the Tundra Women's Coalition. I'm the executive director there. Typically, I call in from Bethel, but I'm here right now with the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. It's our legislative fly-in in one of our operating board meetings. So I'm here for the first time in Juneau doing this, which is very interesting, and I've appreciated everything I've had a chance to witness and see and learn about while I'm here, and I appreciate the opportunity to share our concerns and what we're thinking. So, like I said, I work with the Tundra Women's Coalition. We are a victim services crisis and resource center and shelter with the Children's Advocacy Center there in Bethel. We are a regional provider, so everybody in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, but there are many programs in the region these days from different investments from the federal government, et cetera. It's good infrastructure. We're very happy about that. And I know that this is a very difficult budget year. I've been executive director for about 11 years, and I feel like every single year that I've been here, it's a very difficult budget year, and I'm not here to give you a break this year either. I'm sorry about that. The network has, the network, which is all the programs together, we are asking for a $2 million increase to victim services within the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault that sits within public safety, and $500,000 for legal services programs. We think that this is critical. We, as programs, have been flat funded since 2017, and of course everybody knows that with the cost of living increases and inflation, that means that we have less and less buying power for what we're doing. And investment in victim services, in community-based, tribal-based victim services is a really good investment in Alaska because these are local people who have got jobs, local people who know how to navigate services, local people who care about the people that we're providing services for. I feel like my agency really hustles to help people, and not just with victim services, but when a person experiences violence, decides to come to shelter, they're starting their life over again. They need everything, and those are the simple cases. Sometimes people have mental illness issues. Some people have substance misuse issues. We're getting a lot more elders in shelter. They need things like Social Security income or Social Security disability income and all of the things. And they need all of that navigation, which our agency helps with, because otherwise they're just going to be stuck or they'll have to go back to their abuser. You know, we're really in it with people until they get to their next safe place. And we provide everything along the way, children's services, teen services, legal services, housing. Housing is so critical. There's information going around the capital of the increases in services that all of our agencies are seeing. I've had a 200% increase in transitional housing use from 2017 to 2026. And that is because we know it's a very successful program, and I'm just lacking staff. Like, we're not going to be able to maintain that, but it's so helpful. It's really hard to say we're going to cut that or we're going to reduce that because we don't have the resources and staff when we know how successful it is. Shelter's hard. There's too many people living there. They've all experienced trauma. It is a community living situation. It is difficult. Transitional housing, people are in their own housing unit. And
Ms. Arnold, could you please just wrap up?
Sorry. Thank you. No, thank good. You so much. That's it. Please look out for our request.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Up next in the room is Lila Johnson. Please State your name, affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Leela Johnson. I am the Tribal Victim Services Director for Bay Haven DVSA Shelter in Hooper Bay, Alaska. We serve Chivax, Gamut Bay, and Hooper Bay. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I am here today to urge you to fully fund the additional $2.5 million to CDVSA. These are not abstract numbers. They represent safety, survival, and hope for Alaskans who are experiencing domestic violence and sexual assault. In communities like my hometown, Hooper Bay, these funds are the difference between having somewhere safe to go or having nowhere to go at all. We opened in 2020. Before, there was no place for our clients to go. Our shelter in Hooper, besides flying out to Bethel to TWC, our shelter in Hooper Bay and victim advocates in our neighboring communities are the only 24/7 service available in the entire community. We are not just a shelter, we are the crisis line, the emergency response, the safe house, and often the only door someone can knock on in the middle of the night besides our staff homes. And they do knock. Every week, through the night, we have people banging on our doors. Women, children, sometimes elders, fleeing violence with nowhere to turn. When someone is standing outside in the cold at 2 a.m., there is no backup plan. There is no other agency to call. It is us. The loss of VOCA funds and the cuts to enhanced services don't just reduce programs, they reduce safety. They mean fewer advocates, fewer legal services, fewer direct services for our survivors, and fewer resources for children who have already experienced trauma. Inflation has increased costs, but it has not reduced the violence in our communities. If anything, the need has grown. I ask you to fully fund these critical services so that when someone bangs on our door in the middle of the night, we can open it. I have worked in for-profit. This is the most meaningful work, and we are healing people, and that is the biggest investment that our communities need. We need to do that before we can develop any further. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. We're going to go out of the room right now to Nome. So, Carol Piscoya, please state your name and affiliation for the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Carol Piscoya. I'm the Community Services Division for CWERC. I'm the Vice President of Community Services Division. CWERC would like to focus on our comments on two areas within the governor's budget. The first one is public safety. The safety of rural Alaska depends on more than the presence of a single officer. It depends on a fully supported public safety system. There is more work to be done, but we want to underscore that there are BPSO increments in the proposal and supplemental budgets to address inflation and increase numbers of BPSOs. Please reserve those funds. Preserve those funds, I'm sorry. But also recognize that additional support is needed outside of funding positions. A BPSO cannot succeed or stay safe without the operational structure behind them. When we only fund the position, we fail to fund everything required to make that position effective. A BPSO without program support is an officer without backup, without equipment, and without the tools necessary to protect themselves or their community. The BPSO program is a coordinated system. It includes training, housing, equipment and gear, vehicles and communications, administrative support, travel and logistics, partnerships with tribes, the state troopers, and local leadership. When even one part of that system is underfunded, the entire program is weakened. Funding the position alone does not bring candidates through the door. Recruitment depends on adequate housing, safe equipment, training opportunities, reasonable travel budgets, program stability. When these supports are missing, candidates turn away or current officers leave. Fully funding the program ensures that we attract and retain the high-quality professionals our communities deserve. And the second point is the education. We appreciate last year's small increases to the K-12 public education funding. However, this increase has not met rising costs. The small increase has also not met the state's need to address the major maintenance needs of our state schools. This year, we urge you to concentrate on major maintenance of our public schools, particularly those in remote rural areas of the state. We are hearing from our community members that schools in small communities are continuing to have to tighten their belts, and it is having an impact on the classroom. In smaller communities, teachers are teaching multiple grades, while principals are working 10 to 12-hour days just to keep the school going. While the increase to the base student allocation was a start to addressing their long-time lack of funding, it does not adequately address the needs of children. Thank you for allowing me to comment. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Piscoya. We're going to stay offline. Grace Singh, please state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Grace Renee Singh, and I'm general counsel at Manilik Association based out of Kotzebue. Manilik is a tribal nonprofit service provider administering health, social, and tribal services for 12 tribal governments and village communities located in Northwest Alaska to nearly 9,000 people in total. Manilik is also a member of the Alaska Regional Coalition, or ARC, which is an organization made of 7 regional tribal nonprofits, two of which are regional tribal governments. We are comprised of Kenanaw Chiefs Conference in Interior, Manilik in Northwest, Koweric in Bering Straits, Chugiachimut in South Central, Central Council Tlingit and Haida in Southeast, Inupiaq Community of Arctic Slope on the North Slope, and Association of Village Council Presidents in Western Alaska and the YK Delta. The coalition represents 165 communities and almost 99,000 Alaskans. As tribal service providers, we are all recognized by the United States Indian Self-Determination Act to provide tribally self-determined and local controlled public services on behalf of the federal government. We also provide health, behavioral health, social, public safety, workforce development, and judicial services on behalf of the state of Alaska through contracts, compacts, and grants. Many of these services are administered not only for tribal members, but all Alaskans living in rural communities. ARC came together over a decade ago to highlight and reinforce the need for regional equity in budgeting to ensure that rural Alaska is kept in mind when writing state budgets. First, we are so greatly appreciative to see the DPSO program continue to grow. Thanks to a productive partnership between DPSO grantees, many of which are ARC members, and the Department of Public Safety, we have doubled the number of DPSOs in rural communities across Alaska, all of which lacked any form of public safety services. Of course, there's more work to be done, but please support the DPSO increments in the proposed and supplemental budgets to address inflation and increase numbers of DPSOs. Please preserve these funds. We also thank you for last year's increase to the K-12 Public Education Foundation formula. We made education an ARC top priority last year, and you moved mountains to make it possible. As we know, it may not meet all of our needs, but it was a big step, and we are so grateful for your leadership. This year, we urge you to include major maintenance for our public schools, particularly those in remote rural areas of the state. We also urge the legislature to pass state tribal education compact. Finally, Alaska's behavioral health system sees continuing need. Many of our ARC members, like Manilik, operate state behavioral health grants to address Alaska's mental health crisis. While we applaud the state maximizing Medicaid reimbursements through the 1115 behavioral health waiver, it does not eliminate the need for further state support. Please bolster the state's behavioral health grant programs. We celebrate the trend of fewer dollars coming into the state because of alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana sales, but we also believe that basing the state's discretionary behavioral grant allocations on this dwindling revenue takes Alaska in the wrong direction. Thank you for all that you do and for the opportunity to testify. We support you in striving for a balanced budget to preserve revenues for future generations. Anabasi, Taku, thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. Singh. We're going to stay off net. Sky Michael Chayolkin, I hope I didn't butcher your last name. Please state your name and affiliation and begin your testimony.
Hello, chairs and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sky Michael Chayolkin. I'm the mayor for the city of T-Rex. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on the state budget. Local governments understand the state's revenue shortfall and the pressure it creates. A predictable operating budget helps municipalities plan for law enforcement partnerships, emergency response coordination, and community development programs. For example, in TREC, state operating budgets help support the Public Safety Department and ongoing improvements to the roads, services, and projects that depend on consistent, reliable funding to operate effectively and safely for residents. Capital appropriations and funding for infrastructure, which directly impact local transportation, utilities, and community assets, are critical. Investments in capital projects, whether roads, water systems, or public facilities, are essential for rural and urban communities alike. In TREC, state appropriations help partnerships between local clinics and first responders, including coordination with the TREC Public Safety Department and TREC Tribal Court when responding to behavioral health emergencies. These appropriations help reduce the strain on local emergency services and support healthier, safer communities. Without adequate capital support, municipalities won't see essential projects come to fruition or may be forced to increase local taxes. Mental health services, including crisis response, residential care, and community support, are a shared responsibility between the state and municipalities. Just like the previous lady from Bayhaven, we have one locally in our community in Quebec, and we're proud to have that within our community as a local support for our members in need that impact our local clinics, first responders, or community partners. These appropriations help reduce the strain on local emergency services and support healthier, safer communities. Bottom line, we are cautious of bills that would increase the total tax burden on Alaskans. And in many places, it would do on top of local taxes. Voters have already approved making day-to-day life more expensive and are squeezing household budgets statewide. In TREC, that means higher grocery and diaper costs for working families, rising heating bills during the long lasting winters, and added pressure from seasonal construction slowdowns that affect household income. For many residents, even modest increases in everyday expenses can make it harder to keep up with rent, utilities, and basic repairs. In closing, on behalf of the city of TREC, I urge you to consider how these budget bills support the shared goals of resilient communities, sustainable infrastructure, and quality public services across Alaska. Thank you for your service and for considering the municipal perspective. We want to avoid bills that risk subordinating municipal exemptions to state law and does not try to protect voter-approved local choices. Thank you, co-chairs and members of the committee. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Chayolkin. Off net, we have Matt Atkinson from Fairbanks. Please state your name, affiliation, and for the record, and begin your testimony.
Well, good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the committee. Thanks for the opportunity to testify. As you said, my name is Matt Atkinson. I'm a lifelong Alaskan and co-owner of Fairbanks-based Northern Alaska Tour Company, Warblows Air Ventures, and Right Air Service. And with those enterprises, we have significant operations in Utqiagvik, Dead Horse, Coldfoot, McGrath, and Galena, and serve communities ranging from Kaktovik to every North Slope village. And I also serve on the board of directors for the Alaska Travel Industry Association and the Alaska Air Carriers Association. And here today to respectfully ask you to consider including $10 million in the upcoming budget for tourism marketing. Tourism is one of Alaska's largest private sector employers and export industry. It brings outside dollars directly into our communities, supports jobs, small businesses, as well as state and local tax revenues. And with all this, Alaska ranks near the bottom nationally in state investment and destination marketing. Other states invest many times more than we do to compete for the same visitors. And internationally, the competition is even more aggressive. We benefit greatly from Aurora visitation here in Fairbanks, as well as the North Slope communities that we serve. But countries like Canada, Iceland, Norway, and Finland invest heavily to attract the same Aurora visitors we depend on. And these visitors don't come here by accident. They come because they were inspired to choose Alaska over somewhere else. And when the state invests in marketing, it's not a subsidy to our industry. It's an investment that generates new economic activity, new jobs, and new revenue for Alaska. And the synergy between the transportation and the air service that we provide and rural communities is great. I just met today with an advisor who's working with Arctic Village, and they're exploring developing tourism, which the more people that we get from out of state to support our local routes, the better we can serve our local communities. Without a state investment, we risk losing market share in an increasingly competitive global environment. You know, we have a world-class product here in Alaska. We just need to tell our story. So on behalf of thousands of Alaskans whose livelihood depends on tourism, I respectfully urge you to include $10 million in tourism marketing funding. Thank you for your consideration and for your service down there. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Atkinson. We're going back to the room here, and we have Cassie Luke, Superintendent of the Lake and Peninsula Borough School District. Please come up, state your name and your affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Stedman, Olson, Senator Crunk, and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Jenny Shryock, and I am the Executive Director of the Bristol Bay Region Career and Technical Education Program, and I'm here today with Casey Luke, Superintendent of Schools for the Lake and Peninsula School District. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk with you about our inclusion in the residential schools program you see in the governor's draft budget and its impact on the large region in our state. In front of you, you'll see a pamphlet that kind of outlines our program if you want to follow along a little. The BBRCT program originated in 2010 as a partnership of school districts in our region who recognized a strong need for quality CTE programming for our students. We consist of 4 remote school districts and 23 communities across Southwest Alaska: Dillingham City School District, Bristol Bay School District, Southwest School District, and Lake and Peninsula School District. BBRCT creates access to quality career and technical education pathways that are not available in the region's small communities. Our program is supported on an annual basis by our 4 school districts as best as it can. Uncertainty around funds has made it very difficult for long-term planning and staff retention. Funding through the residential school program will ensure our rural students have sustainable access to career training and real-world skills that will prepare them for Alaska's future workforce. You will note that the draft operating budget identifies Lake and Peninsula School District. To explain how our partnership works internally, I'd like to pass it over to Ms. Casey Luke.
For the record, my name is Casey Luke. I'm the superintendent of Lake and Penn School District. The partnership of our 4 school districts worked with the Department of Education and Early Development over the past years. And just recently, in the fall of 2025, the department approved this program under the Residential Schools Program. The governor did include this in his draft operating budget, with the implementation contingent upon legislative appropriation. A point to make very clear, and in this space and in the building while we're visiting, is that the Lake and Peninsula Borough School District serves as the fiscal responsible entity, providing budgetary oversight, financial management, compliance monitoring, and accountability for all program funds. However, the program direction, use of funds, are all guided through a governing board comprised of school board members and superintendents from every single school district involved in the partnership. This ensures that all students in Southwest Alaska have the equitable access to this vital programming.
For the record, Jenny Shryock, Executive Director of the Bristol Bay Region Career and Technical Education Program, Co-Chair Stedman, Olson, Senator Crunk, and members of the Finance Committee. We appreciate your time this afternoon. We respectfully urge this committee to retain the Senate operating budget, the proposed funding for the Bristol Bay Region Career and Technical Education Program, as represented by the Lake and Peninsula School District, our fiscal representative.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Staying in the room, Finn Hill. Please come up, state your name and your affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Co-Chair Stedman, Olson, and members of the Senate Finance Committee, Yachalidu, Shishida, Tsunkhoka, Shiji, Dinaina, Ishlanshida, Kachnak, Shigushikayak, Kailanda, Irish, Unta, Gutnan, Katna, Kailuda. For the record, my name is Finn Hill. I am a senior from Kachnak High School, and I appreciate you having me today. I came to represent and advocate for a student for a program that is very important to me, the Bristol Bay Region Career and Technical Education Program, BBR-CTE. Through BBR-CTE, I have completed ground school and now I am a pilot. I am currently working on my instrument ground school through an online course while working with a flight instructor. These experiences helped shape me personally and gave me opportunities to expand and grow. Through BBR-CTE, I was able to have these experiences. Otherwise, they would not have been available to me. BBR-CTE brings students from all around the region in a safe and healthy learning environment as a chance to involve themselves in various fields of study. Chinan, thank you for your time. Now you will hear from Annalise.
For the record, my name is Annalise Cosbrook. I am a senior from Perryville in the Lake and Peninsula School District. Coming from a small village, opportunities can be limited. BBR-CTE has been a huge part of my high school experience and personal growth. Through BBR-CTE, I've participated in cultural arts, health, and many other pathways. These classes give me hands-on learning, new skills, and connections I would not have had otherwise. BBR-CTE is very special to me because when I attended one of the health classes, I realized it's a pathway I wanted to work towards. Without BBR-CTE, I might never have discovered that purpose or believed it was possible. It has helped me see a future for myself and shown me that there are people who can help me get there. BBR-CTE doesn't just teach skills, it builds confidence, connection, and opportunities for students like me and for future generations in our region, Thank you for your time and for supporting the BBR-CTE residential school funding.
Thank you both. In the room, we're going to go to Bertha Kowaluk. Please come up to the table, state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Bertha Solonelik Kowalik, and I'm from the Sitnasauk Lands, Senator Olson Committee. I appreciate you for having me speak. I am here with ANDVSA to ask for the $2 million plus the $500 for legal services. I am the face of survival from domestic violence and sexual assault. I have had a very supportive family to where I have worked on myself for 10 years, and I've had amazing employers who have supported that. So I am a different face than what we see in our shelters. I am somebody who have had every opportunity and every person who supports me. When a survivor comes to our door, they don't have that. We are the face that supports them. It's very important that we keep staff, continue to prepare our staff to handle many things that come in the door. This last week, we had a tough case to where we cried because that's how tough these cases are. And so I'd really like to stress to you that we need funding so I could keep the staff that I currently have, who I'm currently have been training for a couple years. And it takes years to be able to handle what we see that walk in that door. And it's very important that as we refine our processes, look at building partnerships, which we all know take time, building ways to work together, that takes time. Because many people that come in that door to work in different services are not from my land. They are not from our rural areas, and they do not understand how we live. They do not understand the generational things that we have faced, and they do not understand what people have to walk through on top of the domestic violence that they just survived. So I really would like to stress to you that we continue getting our funding and get more funding so we can continue to refine our staff, build those partnerships, for when somebody walks in the door, they leave better. At this time, with our funding that we get, they leave okay. And my goal as a survivor is that they leave way better than they walked in. There are many things that hold these people back. Most times they end up going back home. And as you know, in rural areas, there's not enough housing. So they go back to where their family was that harmed them. And so to me, we continue to take those voices away of the many people that come. We continue to take the generations to come, their voices away, because we do not provide the services that they really need, because we don't have the funds. I am probably one of the lowest paying employers in Nome. And it's very hard because I want an amazing staff that can bring life to so many people on top of giving them life at the same time, because what we carry is a lot. And it's really important that we are supported in the systems so we can continue providing the best services for the people that we know. Most people that come in there, they may be family. Most people that come in there, we know their family. And that's an honor to serve them. Help us honor them with the best services that we can, because we do need the funding. And I appreciate your time, and I hope you remember my face, because you'll probably see it many times. Just kidding. And I want to thank you for your time, but I really am pushing that we get what we need so we can build amazing teams to build amazing communities. Thank you.
Thank you both. Cheryl Hume, hopefully I said that right. Please come up to the table, state your name, affiliation for the record, and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Cheryl Hummy. You pronounce the E at the end of the word like a Y, although there's no one who sees it and pronounces it correctly. Thank you, Senate Finance Committee, for allowing me to speak. I am Counselor 3 at Arctic Women in Crisis, AWIC, up in Utiavik. And we are one of the members of ANDVSA, and I'm here speaking on their behalf as well. We are one of the 37 programs that CVSA funds around the state, and there's not one of the programs that could run without the CVSA funding. I'm here to urge you to vote on the $2 million that CVSA is looking for direct direct victim services, and for the $500,000 for legal services. Women are at a higher rate, experience a higher rate of intimate partner violence, and we are the only shelter on the whole of the North Slope Borough, 8 villages. We fly people into Barrow to stay at our shelter. We're 28 beds. We fly people back out to their villages. We are the only services there within the North Slope Borough for people who are dealing with domestic violence and sexual assault. We go into all the schools and talk about healthy relationships and bullying awareness. We are part of many different community events trying to send that same message. We are a vital role in Utiavik and the rest of the villages. And we will not be able to keep our doors open without the CVSA funding. And I urge you to pass that funding. $2 million for direct victim services and $500,000 for legal services. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Seeing no other testifiers off net or in the room, I want to thank the people that came here in person, to testify in behalf of Senator Olson and Senator Hoffman. Thank you for coming here and testifying. It means a lot, especially the young people that came. We appreciate that. With that, brief it is. Back on the record, we're going to take a brief at ease until 2:30, so we'll be back here at 2:30. We're back on the record in Senate Finance, listening to public testimony for the operating capital, mental health, and supplemental budgets. We are brief at ease, seeing if anybody else would sign up. And right now, there is no other people signed up. So we will be at ease until 2:45. We're back on the record here in Senate Finance. With that, there's no other testifiers in the House here or off net. So with that, we will conclude today's meeting. Tomorrow, we'll continue public testimony on the budget bills at 9 a.m. We will hear from the Alaskan communities of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, the Yukon-Koyukuk region, the Yukon-Tananaw region, the Yukon-Flats region, the Upper Tananaw region, and the Copper River Valley. And with that, I want to say thank you for all the people that showed up in person and called in online on behalf of Senator Hoffman and Senator Olson. With that, we are adjourned at 3:45.